If you have your Bibles, turn with me, please, to Hebrews 11 and follow along as I read beginning at verse 1. Hebrews 11 and verse 1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, for by it the men of old gained approval. By faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, God testifying about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death, and he was not found because God took him up. For he obtained the witness that before he was being taken up, he was pleasing to God. And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence, prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents, and Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, there was born even of one man, and him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as the stars of heaven in number, and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts here in this place. And through the ministry of your Holy Spirit, help us to see clearly what is here so that your word can have your desired impact upon our hearts and upon our lives. May we handle your word accurately, communicate it clearly. Take your word, your servant, and teach us, please. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I had a professor in seminary who said, everyone thinks in terms of Hebrews 11:1 as a definition of faith. And he said, no, it's really not. When you look at this passage in its entirety, really what faith is the only response appropriate to God's grace. Is that true? Yes, that's absolutely true. And while I would not have had the courage to say it then, and I only say it now because he's not here, I don't believe he was correct. Now this starts as a definition, doesn't it? Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Assurance of that which is expected and without evidence. That is faith. That's absolutely true. That's a definition. But my professor friend was correct when in verse 2 it says, for by it men of old gained approval. And what the writer means by that is, and we'll see it in the illustration this morning, it's how we gain our entrance into the family of God. It is the only response to the grace and the gift of God that produces salvation in the life. If we try to add to it or subtract from it, oh, we may have good religious practice, we may have a clean conscience, we may live a fairly good life, but we are not born again. We are not a child of God. That is only made possible by faith. Saved by faith as a response to God's grace, by grace through faith in Christ alone. So that's the definition, that's the result, it's the right response to grace. And here's the starting point in verse 3. It at least suggests Genesis 1 and 2. The word he uses for world, though, is actually bigger than that. It's not just what God created, but it's all that came out of that creation as well. So it reflects his sovereignty and his control over all that he created. But let's think in terms of Genesis 1 and 2. It's where we start if we take the time to think in terms of a worldview. You have to start by asking, how did we get here? If you believe, as the world wants us to believe, that you got here without the hand of God, that you got here by accident, coincidence, happenstance, or maybe, and this is very popular, even among some evangelicals, as a result of a big bang. But it's pretty clear that the writer of Hebrews doesn't think so. He says in verse 3, by faith we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was not made out of things which are available. And Old Testament, New Testament, there was a way to write that so that there would be no question. God created out of nothing. Very important. God didn't take the bits and pieces that happened to already be there and make us. And you are not fearfully and wonderfully made, because over millennia, things happen to come together to create you. No, again, we're talking about a worldview, and where do we begin? How did we get here? We got here by the very word of God. He created us. It's very old-fashioned and not thought of well in much of the scientific world. But it takes no more faith to believe that God could, a sovereign creator, could with his word speak into existence all that we see. It takes no more faith to believe that than it does to believe, for instance, that you could take apart your watch, take it all apart completely, put it in a paper bag, and then estimate how long you'd have to shake that paper bag before you could look in and see a watch. No more faith. In fact, I would suggest to you it makes a lot more sense to believe that all that we see has to be the result of a superior mind, a creative, sovereign God. And so the writer of Hebrews says, when we start to talk about faith, let's start at the beginning. What do you believe about how you got here? And then he follows up with five examples of men and women who lived by faith. Verse 4, by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain. Now, you remember that story. Not a lot of detail in Genesis or here. We have to put together some things that I think are safe. That Adam and Eve very carefully communicated to their sons what God expected. Can you imagine the story to these young men now? Mom and Dad lived in a perfect world, a sinless world. But because we sinned, now the wages of sin, the result of sin, is death. And God has made a way through the death of animals, the shedding of blood, where he will forgive our sins. Abel hears that and believes it and accepts it. Cain hears it and says, you know, I put every bit as much work into raising corn or wheat or beans as my brother does in raising sheep. So why can't I offer a bushel of corn for my sin while my brother offers a lamb? Makes sense to me. And God says, but that's not what I require. This is not about what you can do. This is not about your hand. This is about the life that is in that animal. And yes, Abel must have been a good husbandman to care for them, to raise them, but he was not responsible for the life that was in it. And it was that life that was required, that blood. And it is by faith, believing that God said what he meant what he said, and if I'm going to be righteous, if I'm going to make a right choice, I'm going to obey. So by faith, Abel offered to God a better sacrifice. Verses 5 and 6, by faith, Enoch was taken up so that he would not see death. Again, a short story, not a lot of detail. Interestingly enough, I did go back to the book of Genesis and look again at the generations, approximately 7 generations from Adam to Enoch. And if all of the generations are there, it's quite possible, in fact likely, that Enoch knew Adam. Imagine that. You know the man who literally walked with God every day in the garden with nothing whatsoever between them. No sin. The creation talking to the Creator with nothing between them. And him telling that story to generation after generation, and here's Enoch. And he's saying, I want to live like that. Remember, God is a rewarder of those who seek him, Enoch learned. I want to walk with God like that. I want to spend time listening to him. Oh, I can't do it like Adam did because I'm sin-stained. But I can still talk with him and walk with him. And he did it in such a way that, like only one other person that we know of in Scripture, God simply said, I'm going to take him. I'm not going to make him go through the pain and agony of death. I'm just going to take him. And he's walking along one day here on earth, and in the next moment, he's walking with God in heaven. All of that by faith. By faith, verse 7, Noah prepared an ark. He was warned by God about things not yet seen. Remember from verse 1? Now, we've got to think a little bit about the world that Noah lived in. If we read Genesis 1 through 5, we meet Noah in Genesis 6. If we read that very carefully, read Genesis 1 and 2 and creation very carefully, it's most likely, one, that all of the water that exists on the earth is still all in one place. That all of the land that exists on the earth is still all in one place. And it has yet to rain. Dew has formed every morning, so crops could grow and all of that. But the world was very much like a perfect greenhouse. Because when you listen, when you read the description of what God did in the flood, how he broke things up, I think that's a fair description of what the world was like for Noah. So imagine, Noah, what you building? I'm building an ark. Well, what's an ark? Well, it's kind of like a big boat. What's a boat? What do you need a boat for? Well, it's going to rain. Rain, what's rain? That's faith. And it took him 100 years to do it. So for 100 years, he's saying to the world around him, God's going to judge. He's going to send something he's never sent before, rain out of heaven. He's going to break things up so the water comes up from below us, and this thing is going to float. And only those who believe God will do what he says he's going to do will be in that boat and will be saved. And he preached that day after day after day. The writer of Hebrews says, condemning the world around him because they would not believe. But by faith, Noah prepared an ark and saved the lives of Mrs. Noah, Ham, Shem, Japheth, and their wives. 8 souls. By faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed. That's a key word here. Back up in verse 4. By faith, Abel offered. Well, he obeyed. Here, Abraham, by faith, obeyed. A key step in right choices, in righteousness. By faith, Abraham obeyed. And I love these. I think the word is participles, but I love how these come together. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance, and he went out not knowing where he was going. I like that. Don't know a whole lot about Abraham. He was called Abram back then. Don't know a whole lot about him. He came out of a pagan land, so he probably grew up. And he's almost 100 years old by this time. Not quite, 85. He grew up through all of his maturity in a pagan land, probably worshipped many gods. But God called him out of that. He recognized the voice of the one true God, heard it, and obeyed. Left. Excuse me. Going to a place that he did not know. Verse 9, living as an alien. But listen to this. Living as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob. Is it possible that again Abraham, his whole adult life, maybe lived in a city? But now he's been called to go someplace else to live as an alien in a land that's already been promised to him. He's going to walk around all of this and say, this is mine. Remember, he's living by faith. God had promised it to him. This is all mine. But nobody's going to recognize him as owner. He can't build a house. He can't claim anything. So he's living in a tent. Now, my suspicion is it was a very nice tent. But still, you know, until you put down a foundation and build a wall and all of those sorts of things, this isn't home. It's not mine yet. It's promised. It will be. By faith, Abraham obeyed and went. And we learn something. I learned something in Hebrews 11. That I don't think you would learn in the book of Genesis. And that's here in verses 11 and 12. By faith, even Sarah herself received ability to conceive. You remember that story, don't you? When the angels came and talked with Abraham about the plans that God had for him and all. And remember how Sarah was listening, and God promised Sarah's going to have a child. Do you remember what Sarah did when she heard God promises, I'm going to have a child? She laughed. What's the significance of that? Isaac means laughter. And it was not initially, if you read Genesis carefully, that laughter was not initially a laughter of joy. It was a laughter of ridicule. You got to be kidding me. after all his time and all his prayers. And here I am, 75 years old. Now you expect me to get excited about having a child? Where were you back when I was 30 and all of that? When everybody else was having children. Now at 85, you expect me to get excited? 75. Laughed. What Moses doesn't tell us in Genesis, the writer of Hebrews tells us here. At some point, Sarah did a 180. And laughter, that little boy growing inside of her, she started calling him laughter. She started calling him Isaac. Because she was looking forward to him. Because at some point she made that turn and said, if God can do it, let him do it. God says he can do it, he'll do it. I want to be a part of it. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive. Her conception, the gift of Isaac, was at least in part the result of Sarah's faith, believing that God could and would do what he said he would do. What is faith? The assurance of things anticipated, expected. Yes, our Bibles sometimes still use the English word hope. That's too big a word for this. This is not I hope so. This is I'm anticipating, I'm expecting God to do what he says he will do. It is the conviction of the evidence of things not seen yet. Knowing they're coming. Haven't seen them yet, but I know they are coming. And that faith, by that faith, we obtain a good testimony. That is, we are set up then to make the right response. We become the righteous men and women of God. Now, one final word. Look to verse 13. All these died in faith without receiving the promises. Oh, they did in part, but not in entirety. There's a sense in which we stand in the very same place. You and I, as children of God, those of you who've recognized Jesus as Savior and as Lord, we have received many of the promises that God has made. But there are more to come. We live by faith now, knowing, expecting, anticipating that God's going to keep the promises that remain yet. For some of us, the promise will be we take our last breath here on earth, and we take our next breath in heaven. It's a promise. You can expect it. You can anticipate it. You can live in light of it. For one generation, we're going to look up and see Jesus, and we're going to be gone in a moment. And like Max, I hope I'm standing around Thorn or Miriam Chapel over there and get to watch those graves pop first. You ready? Pop, and you go like that. Right? They get to go first. They earned that right, Paul says. But I'm right behind him. Promises. Promises made. Some promises kept. Some remaining yet. But the same God who is so faithful to keep the promises he's made to you this point, to this point, is the same God who will keep the rest of the promises. You can be sure of that. Let us pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for its truthfulness. I pray that we've handled it accurately, communicated it clearly. We've handled it quickly, certainly. Encourage those who need to be encouraged. Challenge those of us who need to be challenged. And for most of us, it's a little bit of both. Your word tells us that you love us, that Jesus died for us. And you offer that grace to each of us, asking only that we believe the almost unbelievable that the Creator of the universe loves us so much that he wants us to spend eternity with him. And all that you expect, all that you need, all that you require, all that will work is faith. By grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. We thank you, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen.